All right, so we are in a series going through the book of Luke, and we're going to continue in that series. We're in Luke chapter 8. Jesus is going from town to town. He's going from village to village. He is proclaiming or preaching the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God, the scripture says. He took with him his disciples, his apostles, and along with the apostles, Jesus brought a group of women with him, which we talked about last week, but which is kind of interesting because a little bit countercultural then would have probably been a little controversial. But we're told why he brought these women. They were women of influence, and they were actually, out of their own resources, supporting the ministry of Jesus. And so we have these women who were not numbered among the apostles, but they were very significant in the ministry of Jesus. We often forget this, and so they supported the ministry, and so they had part in, really, as Jesus preached the gospel, they were supporting that. And so, you know, they say behind every good man is a good woman. Behind Jesus was a whole tribe of women who were supporting him and the apostles, which is pretty amazing and unfortunately forgotten often by many of us. And so they are going through, Jesus is preaching the gospel. He's telling them about the availability of the kingdom of God. He's going from place to place, town to town, pronouncing that the king has come, the Messiah has come, people can now enter in. So we get to Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. This is where we're going to focus today. Many of you know this, heard parts of this story. It's known as the parable of the sower. We'll read it, and then we'll kind of go through it just kind of like passage by passage. So, beginning in verse 4, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Let's pray. God, pray this morning that your word would fall on good soil. God, that you would help us to understand what you're saying to us, what it means to us. God, in some way, by your spirit, you would change us today. So bless our time as we're gathered together in the reading of your word, and Lord, help it to just change us in a way that we grow, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Jesus is going from town to town. He's sharing the good news of the kingdom. More and more people gather. There's a large crowd, it says, and then he begins by telling them a parable. He tells them this story, and he begins by saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. So being an agrarian society, they would have all kind of got this picture in their mind when he says a farmer goes out to sow his seed. You know, that was done at that time by hand, very different. So when we think of a farmer, we probably don't have the same picture that they have. I mean, in our society, in our culture, it's all done with machines. There's automated sprinkling systems. You know, start getting AI involved. Who knows what's going to happen, right? Don't let me go down that trail or down that path. But so it's very different then. So here, there's a sower. He's like a bag of seeds. He walked the land and prepared the land, plowed the land, and then he would cast the seed. And as he walked, there would be paths that would, you know, that he would stay on, and they would be trampled down. So when he sowed the seed, you know, wind would blow some of the seed. Most of it would go where it's supposed to go. Some would go on some of the paths. Some would go on the rocky soil. And so they would have this picture in their mind. They understand what Jesus is talking about, okay? So as I said, a lot of us know this story as the parable of the sower, but the one who sows the seed isn't really the focus of this story. Now, the one who sows the seed, and the seed is the word of God, we'll talk about that in just a minute, but really, the focal point here are these four different soils that the seed falls on. And Jesus wants us to understand what he's talking about here, with the meaning behind these soils, and the significance for our own lives. So it really should probably be the parable of the soils. And I want us to think about, like, as we're going into this, what's the soil of my heart? Because that's what the soil represents. So a couple things before we jump into it, just to say about parables. When we think of a parable, we think it's a story that helps understand a point like Jesus is teaching. He's teaching this point, and we think that the parable helps just understand the point. What Jesus tells us here is that the parable doesn't just help understand the point. That's one thing it does, but it also seems to hide the point from some people, which seems a little counterintuitive, but that's what he said. Look at verse 8. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." So I'm telling you this story so that you will understand the secrets of the kingdom, but I'm also telling the story so that these people don't get it. And you think, why would Jesus do that? I mean, why would he tell a story that would keep people from understanding and then help these people understand? So let me just point something out. When Jesus tells the story, does anybody understand? What do the disciples do? They ask. They go to Jesus. Now, Jesus says later, he goes, "The secrets of the kingdom are being revealed to you guys." So I just want to make sure we understand this. It's not like God chooses these guys and the secrets of the kingdom are somehow mystically just given to these guys. No, these are the 12 knuckleheads, right? These guys, Jesus is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. These guys don't even know he's the king until after he dies, and it's 3 days later when he raises from the dead. So they didn't just miraculously, supernaturally get this, okay? He goes, "The secrets of the kingdom are being given to you, and to some, it's being hidden." And we ask, why would he do that? And it really has to do with the heart of the listener. See, the disciples and some others who were there, they had a desire to know what Jesus was talking about. They wanted to know more. They were genuinely seeking from their heart. And so when they didn't get it, they went up and talked to him, and he explains it to them. And we'll see we'll understand what it means as we go through the passage. And then there were others there who had hard hearts, and they really did not desire to understand. There were some that just were listening. There were some that already had passed judgment. They just had hard hearts. So this is all about someone's heart. If they're in a place where they want to know truth and they're genuinely seeking it, it'll be revealed to them. And we see this in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 7, verses 7 to 8. "Keep on asking, and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open." If you're genuinely seeking, you will find. And I find great comfort in this passage because it means that those who really are seeking after truth, they're going to find it. And so when you are sharing with people, which we're all called to do, this good news about Jesus, it's not your job, it's not my job to convince anybody that what we're saying is true. The Holy Spirit does the work in a person's heart. And that's why for me, like, I actually really enjoy conversations with people who are from other religions, I've told you guys stories about my friend Sharif, who's Muslim, and we have great conversations and about the Lord, and I know the Lord's at work in his heart. And I also love conversations with people who are atheists. Like, those kind of conversations should not get us anxious. Those kind of conversations should not be adversarial, because God's the one who does the work. And if you know him, and you know that if someone's really seeking after truth, then you trust God to do the work. So what I do in those situations, what I would encourage you to do, is kind of what Jesus did. Ask a lot of questions. You ask a lot of questions, and then you listen. And at the end, what I always say is, I say, listen, because I know from the Word of God, there's one thing I know, that a person who does not have a relationship with Jesus does not have true peace in their heart. Believe that with all my heart. It's just the truth. I just remember many nights before I came to know the Lord, laying my head down to sleep and thinking about things like life and death and all these questions. They don't have peace. And so knowing that, what I always say is, I say, listen, just keep seeking until you know that you know that you know that you have peace with God. Because if they seek, they will find. And I'm confident they will land at the feet of Jesus. And so those who seek, find. It's all about the heart. So Jesus now explains the parable. He reveals these secrets, the meanings, to the disciples. Luke 8:11, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. All right, so the seed that's being sown is the word of God. Now, when we hear that, immediately we usually think, okay, so it's the Bible. Now, remember, when Jesus was walking the earth, they didn't have the Bible. Okay, they didn't have this. They had the Old Testament scriptures, and Jesus referred to that as the word. So he could be talking about the Old Testament scriptures when he talks about scattering the word of God. But John tells us that Jesus himself was also referred to as the word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning, the word already existed. The word was with God, and the word was God. And look at verse 2. He's talking about a person. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Verse 14, so the word became human and made his home among us. Starting to give us a hint as to who he's talking about. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. He's speaking of Jesus. So the Word can be the Old Testament scripture Jesus is referring to here. The Word, Jesus was the Word incarnate. He embodied the Word. And when he spoke the Word of God. John 12:49-50. I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. And I know his commands lead to eternal life. So whatever I say, I only say what the Father told me to say. So when Jesus says, the sower is scattering the seed, and the seed is the word of God. He has just been proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. He is the word. He embodies the word. He speaks the word. And so what he's talking about is the gospel, the good news, that God has come and that God desires to save, okay? So the message that's being scattered and shared by the sower is the gospel. So what happens when the word falls on these different soils? And it all depends on the heart of the person listening. Look at verse 5. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. This is the meaning, verse 11. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. So some seed falls on the path. The path is hard. It's packed down. The seed sits on the top. It never has a chance to go down and take root. And so the birds come and they eat it. And he goes, man, these are people who hear the message. And they it's not that they're opposed to it. It's not that they have issue with it. They just hear it, and they don't do anything with it. And when that happens, you know, they might even give a head nod to it. Oh, that sounds really good. And they listen, to this message. And this is, you know, they don't respond, and the devil just comes and just plucks that seed away, plucks away that word, just like the seed that's on the path, which just sits on top. So it doesn't have an impact in their lives. It doesn't change them in any way. They thought about it, they considered it, but before they made a decision, the devil comes in and deceives them. So that's the first soil, this heart that's hard and just doesn't actually receive the word. Look at verse 6. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Verse 13, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Okay, so these people hear the gospel and they respond, and they respond with joy. It seems like there's some kind of change. Have you ever seen that? Like, have you ever known anybody who just seems on fire? All of a sudden, they hear a message, they seem on fire, and then it's like not long after that, they just go cold. They disappear. It's like, what happened? That seems to be the kind of person that Jesus is talking about here. On fire one day, gone the next. Times of testing come. Maybe it's prayers that weren't answered. Maybe they had a wrong idea because they were sat in a meeting like this and they were told something wrong about God. You know, don't ever think that just because someone's standing up here teaching from this book, the Bible, that it's always truth. Right? So they might have heard a version of the gospel that either wasn't the full gospel or really didn't explain to them that really coming to Jesus is surrendering your life to him. And so when a tough time came, they're like, I'm out. I'm done. Or their prayers weren't answered because they were told, you know what? You just ask God and he's going to give you what you want. That whole name it, claim it, you know, buy it, frame it. He's going to give it to you, whatever you want. That's like God's some genie in a bottle that we just ask and he just does our bidding. That stuff's being preached in places, right? And so they hear and they respond and they're on fire like, this is awesome, you know? They might have all these thoughts about God. Then all of a sudden they're tested and boom, they're gone. That's the soil, the heart that's rocky and there's no root that goes down. It's not nourished. It's not watered. They say things like, I tried Jesus, but it didn't work. And then he comes to the third soil. Verse 7. The other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Verse 14. The seed that fell among these thorns were those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. These people, they hear the gospel, they respond in some way. It's kind of short-lived. We don't really know how long. But ultimately, this plant that starts to spring up, it's choked off by the worries and cares of the world. It's like, again, maybe they didn't hear the full challenge of the gospel, that in order to find your life, you have to give up your old life. In order to respond to the king and to the Lord, that means he has to be the one in control, which means you have to surrender to him. And maybe these people, they keep one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, and they think they can just have it all. When Jesus said things like, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Like, this is a big decision. He even said things like, make sure you count the cost before you make this decision. These people didn't fully understand, and they didn't really enter into God's kingdom. And ultimately, the things of the world that entice them and pull them away, as the seed germinates and starts, you know, they start entering into the things of God, and they start experiencing some of the things of God, the worries of this world come in, the deceitfulness of riches come in, and all of these things, and they start to question. And then ultimately, like the others, they walk away. Now, these are the three soils Jesus starts with. And these are the people who seem to have responded, at least the last two seem to have responded, but then they walk away. John mentions this in 1 John 2:19, how this happens. He says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us. So they came to church, they engaged in spiritual things, but they never really were transformed by the gospel. They never really were born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Just as a reminder, being a Christian is not following a set of rules. It's not coming to church. It's not checking religious boxes. It's having an encounter with the living Christ who came, who died, who rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, is alive today. So when we surrender to him, something real happens inside of us spiritually. And when that happens, the seed starts to take root, and you have to do things to water it, to help it grow. They never had that experience. And so a lot of times we hear this parable, a lot of Christians talk about these first three soils. Man, these people who fell away, or, you know, were they ever really Christians? Can you lose your salvation? We have all these debates and things like that. And those are, you know, those can be fun to have, but they're really pointless in the end. Because what really matters is where's the soil of your heart? What's the soil like in your heart? When you hear the word of God, when you hear the gospel, first of all, have you responded to it? And then, are you continuing to grow? And that brings us to the final soil that Jesus talks about. Verse 8, still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. But the seed on good soil, verse 15, stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. These people hear the word. They have a noble and good heart. They have a desire to know God. It's not because they're good that they are saved. It's because of how good he is. But they have a desire to genuinely listen, to genuinely hear. They are the people who are seeking. They are the ones who are just open to the message and genuinely want to know truth. He says, that's the kind of soil the seed goes into. It goes down into this good and fertile soil, and it's nourished, and it takes root, and it begins to grow. And it produces the crop. Now, here's the thing I want to make sure that we all understand. When the seed goes into the soil, now I shouldn't be the one teaching this because I don't have a green thumb. We kill everything that comes into our home, okay? Anybody else like that? Like, I mean, everything. Even drive by my house. George can testify. I got dead grass out in the front. I'm getting letters from the HOA. I just can't keep anything. Just the way it is. But, so I'm probably not good at teaching. But I do know this. In order for the seed to grow, it has to go in the ground. It has to stay in the ground. It needs to be watered. It needs to have nutrients. It needs sun, like all these things, right? It has to remain there. One on the path, you know, the birds came, plucked it away. The one on the rocky soil, the enemy comes and just steals it away. You know, each one of those, you see how the seed was stolen. Here in the good and fertile soil of a good heart, the seed goes in, and it says it remains in the soil and produces a great crop. Now, when you say the seed has to remain in, it makes me think about another passage where Jesus taught, and he said, if you remain in me, you ever remember that? He talks about the vine and the branches, John 15, verse 5. Yes, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay? Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. Like, you're going, well, I do a lot of things apart from Jesus. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing that has eternal significance. That's what he's saying. And if you want to bear fruit, which is what God desires for you, for me, for everyone, you have to remain in him. So what does it mean for that seed to remain in the ground, in the fertile soil of our heart? What does it mean for that seed to remain there, for me to remain in God? I have to remain in him, okay? And so abide in him, verse 15 says. And there's a lot of things to consider when you think about abiding in Jesus, being with Jesus. Number one, yeah, we should we should take his word into our heart. It helps us grow. It transforms our mind. It changes us. We need to remain in him. But I'm going to tell you, if you just study the Bible, that's not the answer. There were these guys called the Pharisees, religious leaders. They studied the Bible. They knew the Old Testament scriptures better than you'll ever know the scripture. And Jesus showed up in their midst, and not only did they miss him, they were the ones who had him killed. So it's not just about reading and studying the Bible. It's a big part of it. Knowing the truth so that you can defend lies when, you know, the enemy comes in like a flood. You need to know the truth, right? But also remaining in him is being present. Sometimes it's just slowing down enough to be in a place where you can hear God. When you pray, it's not just telling God everything you need. Prayer is expressing your heart to God and then listening. You know, we get scared of things. People talk about meditation and things like that. You should look through the Bible one time, see how many times it tells you that you are to meditate on the Word of God. So it's not just studying it. It's actually letting it sink down in your soul. Like, be still and know that I'm God. Stop. Some of us are too busy that we don't really remain in him. We don't really take that time to be with him. Coming to church is great. Being in a small group is great, but make sure you're taking some time, you and Jesus, really allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your heart. And then I do want to say one last thing about remaining. You know, remaining in him, being in and among his people. Like, we need one another. I need you, you need me. You can't do this thing alone. Church, by the very definition of church, is a gathered group of people in Jesus' name. So people go, you know, my relationship with God, that's just me and God. I'm not saying you can't have a relationship outside of a gathered group of people. You certainly can. But I do want to say you're in a very vulnerable place, because you need people like, we all are able to be deceived. And the enemy is prowling around looking for someone to devour. He's trying to deceive us. And sometimes I need a brother in my life who will tell me, like, hey, man, you know, I'm seeing this. I need to share this with you. Like, we need one another. And it only happens in relationships. So it's not so much about coming to this building and being here for this. It's about being with other people who love God and love you. And you can be a part of their lives, and they'll be a part of your life. And so we need to remain in him, we need to remain in his word, we need to be present with him and present with one another so that we can grow and produce this crop that he desires for us to produce. So maybe you know Jesus this morning, maybe you don't. I just want to let you know the seed that was sown, it's the gospel, it's the good news that God loves you. He loves you, and there's nothing you can do to earn his love or his acceptance. He did it all. Jesus came. He stepped out of heaven, came to this earth. He died on the cross for your sins. He loves you. He's pursuing you. He wants you to surrender to him and have a full life, not everything in life that you want, but a fullness of life where you have that peace that surpasses all understanding, that you know that you know that you know that he's with you now, and you'll be with him when you breathe your last breath. That's the good news of the gospel. And my hope is that everyone in this room either has or will respond to that. And then, for those of us who know him, here's my question for us this morning. And believe it or not, I'm almost done. We're going to end early. What's the soil of your heart like today? See, is your heart hard? And when I say that, not like you're rejecting the gospel, but is your heart hard maybe to some other person? Is there that person in your life who you're like, I know I should forgive that person, I know I should have that conversation, but that's hard and I don't want to do it, and you just kind of put it off, and that little part of your heart is just hard? Is maybe your heart hard to something in the Word of God that you've read and you know it's truth and you know it's speaking to you and you know I need to stop doing this and I need to start doing this, but I'm really comfortable doing this. And so this little part of your heart goes, nah, not right now. What's the soil of your heart like? What's the desire of your heart? Is it to know God, to know him deeper, to understand his love in a way that you can share it even more powerfully with other people? Only you know that, you and God. But you can, and I want to say this to you as we get ready to close, and you guys can come back up, bang, come back up. You can prepare the soil of your heart. When God's people in the Old Testament turned their backs on him, which they did many, many times, right? The whole story of the Old Testament, you read it, like they reject God, he brings them back. They harden their hearts, he brings them back. He's always pursuing, this is a beautiful thing about God's relationship with his people, he's always pursuing and brings them back. They're at a point where they've hardened their hearts to God. And Hosea writes this in Hosea 10:12, I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. And then listen to what he says. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. Plow up the hard parts of your heart so that he might bless you, so that you might receive more of his love, so that you might know him better, so that you might share this good news with other people. Plowing takes work, right? Like imagine being back in those days when this was written. I mean, to plow a field took work. Whether you had an ox or not, it was hard work. And so sometimes plowing up that hardened ground in your heart is going to take a little work on your part. And I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you to do that this morning. Maybe you're so busy, it's just hard for you to remain in fellowship. You're here on occasion. You're with other believers sometimes. It's a decision to make. Are you going to change your priorities to prioritize them around the kingdom? Maybe you're so distracted by stuff, whether it's your social media or just the world around you or even your job and your position, that all these other voices have so much influence on you more than the Word, and the Word becomes secondary. And maybe there's just an area of your life where you need to repent. You want to break up that hardened heart, you need to just say no to the things of the world and say yes to God. And when you do, you're going to receive a harvest of righteousness. That's what the Word says. So I want to ask you to stand with me, and I want to pray for us this morning that we would do that, that we would grow in our relationship with him. If we haven't crossed that line, that we would cross that line of faith. For those of us who have, that God would show us what's the next step. None of us have arrived. What's the next step in me growing in my relationship with him that I can bear more fruit? Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. And God, I pray this morning that your word would fall on fertile soil. We all acknowledge none of us are perfect. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's what your word says, and it's true. And we all know it to be true. If we're honest with ourselves, there's areas in our lives, Lord, that we need to turn over to you. Maybe some hardness there that just needs to be broken up. God, I pray by the power of your Spirit, you would do that work that only you can do. God, that you'd help us to love the people who sometimes are hard to love. God, by your Spirit, would you do that work in our heart that helps us to do that? God, to honor the people in our lives who deserve honor. Think about that on Mother's Day. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. God, let that word just ring in our minds as men and husbands. What does it mean to love my wife like Christ loved the church? If there's any hardness in our hearts, break that up. Lord, help us to love as you call us to love. And God, if there's an area we need to repent, just bring that to mind right now. If there's something in our lives, an area of disobedience that we have either just stopped trying in, or maybe we're just unaware. God, by your Spirit, would you bring that to mind? And then would you give us the strength to say no to those things and say yes to you? And my prayer is that as a result, we would see this crop of righteousness, Lord, fruitfulness in our lives that we haven't seen. And it only comes because of what you've done. It only comes through Jesus. And we thank you that you give us peace, that you give us grace, and only you can do that. Let's sing this last song and just let the Spirit just continue to work in you as only He can.